Welcome to the Wedding Songs Podcast, featuring newly released songs you need to know and the tried and true classics. Get song ideas from the time guests arrive until the last dance of the reception. And now your host, Matt Campbell, founder of MyWeddingSongs.com.
Welcome, everybody, to the Wedding Songs Podcast. I am Matt Campbell. Today, I have a very special guest, Jean Newhart from Ohio. Welcome to the show, Jean.
Thank you, Matt. Well, thank you for having me.
You have so much experience in the wedding industry. I wanted to have you on the podcast, and thanks for being on the show. I'm going to start off how I start off most of my podcast is, can you share any heartwarming or memorable wedding moment?
Really, looking back through the years, a lot of little moments here and there. I have been in the wedding industry for 30 years and retired from planning after 27. So really, a lot of the little moments were just kind of these small moments. For instance, one bride, she had a disability where she needed a cane to walk. She made it a point where she was going to walk down that aisle with Dad without her cane and stand through her ceremony without it. And she did it. That was very heartwarming for everyone who knew her. Another wedding, the bride's sister, who was her maid of honor, also sang the bride's processional song, which was very sweet. It was obviously expected by the couple because they had planned it, but the guests didn't know that there was going to be as well. So that was a nice touch. Probably one of the moments that I really remember is during the reception, all the formalities were done, the cake cutting and the bouquet toss and all that. And the party was just in full swing. The bride and groom were on the dance floor with their guests, dancing, big smiles on their face. You could tell that they were just happy beyond measure. And they have not stopped smiling since the first thing this morning. They have smiled all day. And I had that little aha moment as I... That is why we do what we do. Not just the planner, but DJ, the photographer. We do it because we want to make them happy. Not for the money, not for this or that. But that was our why. So that was kind of a nice aha moment.
I think it's interesting as people in the wedding industry, we can really pick out the people that are in love, and seeing those moments at weddings, I think, make for very special moments, not only for them, but for us as well.
Oh, yes. I started well before Facebook, the internet, that wasn't even a thing. But now looking back on Facebook, I can see where, you know, couples are still together and sharing their third child, or it's like, it is so nice to look and go, was that the beginning of that?
Right.
I'm not trying to be a stalker or anything. I don't want to come across like that. And this is so nice to see they're still together. They're still happy. It's just a very, very nice feeling.
I talked to Freddie one of my first interviews, and he was talking about, my couples are my friends. I'm friends with them on Facebook. I'm following them, talking to other wedding professionals that those of us who've been in there a long time, of course, we're DJing their kids' weddings. It's full circle. It's great.
Yep.
So can you tell people a little bit about your background and about you?
Sure. Well, what I do, as I said, I'm a retired wedding planner and coordinator. So I started with the training back in 1994, and I've seen a lot of things through the years, a lot of changes behind the scenes, just from the way people approached weddings, way couples approached weddings, the dynamics behind the scenes. There's just the changes in technology that have changed. But my philosophy behind weddings was, okay, here are the quote unquote rules. How can we make them fit your wedding? Either use them as is, maybe adjust them a little bit to fit your wedding personalities of the couple. Or if it's something that really doesn't fit for what you're wanting, maybe we omit it. I always had that belief of what they want, how they want their wedding to be. Because no two couples are the same. No two weddings are the same. And they shouldn't have to feel like, oh, the rule said we should do this, or we should do that, or we are expected to. Well, do you want to? Is it meaningful for you? And with my blog, I just kind of want to still have that same philosophy of, here's what's out there. Here's things that you can do. How will it work for you? Or if it doesn't work for you, don't feel like you have to.
I think that's a great transition into what we're going to talk about today, is wedding traditions. In your opinion, how important are wedding traditions in creating a memorable and meaningful wedding?
They are very important, because you have to stop and think that what is a wedding, but at its core, it is a ritualistic rite of passage. It is not just a party with some wedding stuff thrown in, but it is a purpose. You are going from this state of two individual people who are coming together to form this union. Is a rite of passage from going from single to married. And there are rituals behind that to, I don't want to say really to make it so, but there are different rituals and practices that go hand in hand. And those are the traditions. Even though the traditions, the reasons why the traditions, the meaning of the traditions have changed so much through the centuries. Back when they originated, a lot of them were to ward off the evil spirits or to promote fertility, because it's like we're trying to scare off the evil spirits and make sure you have lots of babies. That's what a lot of the meaning behind that. Even the dad walking the daughter down the aisle wasn't a loving support, but a business transition of you are going from our house to his house and we don't have to take care of you anymore. Where today, the practice of cake cutting, dad walking daughter down the aisle, tossing the bouquet, the practices are still there, but the meanings that we now attach to them have changed to reflect our modern day beliefs.
That reminds me, so many couples I talk to, they want the in the vows, the obey part removed because they're mm-hmm. like, I'm not going to obey.
I don't remember the last time I've heard obey in vows.
So talking about traditions, then I think in my mind, one of the most famous traditions is the saying, something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. Do you mm-hmm. see this tradition carried on today? And if so, any tips for couples that want to incorporate this into their wedding?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I still see it a lot of time, week of the wedding, a couple weeks before the wedding, the brides still want to incorporate that. Years ago, it used to be pretty much it was the bride's, I don't want to say her duty, but it was all kind of like it revolved around the bride. And it was often something that she wore. Like her something old is I'm wearing mom's wedding gown or veil. Something new, oh, I bought a new wedding dress. Borrowed, often a piece of jewelry, a necklace or a bracelet. Something blue, it's usually the garter and the lucky sixpence in your shoe. But today it's like, you know, okay, they still want to do that, but with a modern twist, not necessarily what they're wearing, or also get their groom or the partner involved in these something old, something, you know, where Bella can wear borrowed dad's tie or grandpa's cufflinks. If bride wants something a little bit different for blue for her, instead of wearing a garter, it's like, well, maybe some blue nail polish, some pretty rhinestone hair accessories.
I think that's a really important fact that you're making, that it doesn't have to be, as an example, something blue. The whole dress doesn't have to be blue, or the whole exactly. bracelet doesn't have to be blue. It could be, you mentioned the garter being blue. It doesn't mean that the whole garter has to be blue. Just maybe, like you're saying, blue rhinestones mm-hmm. in there. Or
yeah, just a little, even just having your wedding date sewn into the hem of, you know, the lining of your wedding gown with some blue thread. Something simple, or but doesn't have to be in your face blue, but just even just little touches. Or if you really, really want a lot of blue, go for it.
And I love that you're getting both partners involved with that. If I was getting married, maybe it's grandpa's pocket watch.
Exactly, because something old, that is kind of like our heritage, where we came from, and it is what it represents, like the perfect thing. Weddings aren't just about the bride, and they never should have been in the first place. So it's like, it's wonderful that couples are realizing it's not just about her, it's about them. You know, one may have more of a preference over a certain aspect of the wedding than the other, which is fine. But the input from the both is very, very important. Some of my favorite weddings to plan were the ones where both the bride and the groom were involved with the planning. And totally not agree. Just, oh, okay, the first time I met the groom was at the rehearsal.
Yeah, I remember when I got married, just because being in the wedding industry, I had, yes, a lot more say than the average person. But then my personality, like you're saying, my personality gets into that wedding day as well.
Wedding is the beginning of your marriage. A marriage is a partnership between the two people. Why shouldn't it start with the wedding?
Great tip. So what are some of the most common wedding traditions that you have encountered?
Really, the more common ones, the cake cutting, bouquet toss, garter toss, having a wedding party, your bridesmaids and your groomsmen, and things like that are just still very, very popular. I've actually had a couple who had no wedding party. And when it came time for the processional, they met at the back of the aisle and walked in together. But still, most couples are still doing the traditional father-daughter dance, mother-son, father-daughter, mother-son dance, and things of that nature. But it's not always done with the same serious formality as it was maybe 30 or 40 years ago, where it's like, they're having fun. I was talking with the folks that teach choreography with couples getting married, and they say they see a lot where the father and daughter come in to get a little choreography routine for the wedding. So it's like, yeah, let's have fun with it.
I actually have a friend choreographer as well, and she says the same thing, that, yeah, sometimes it's the mother and the son, mother and the groom. And mm-hmm. yeah, it's not just stereotype just for the choreographed dance, just for the wedding party or just yeah. for the wedding couple.
Right.
Going off of traditions too, what we're seeing is it really depends on where you're located, where we're seeing a lot of cake cutting being cut out of it, because exactly what you're saying, couples want to have fun. Mm-hmm. So really that time that it takes for the garter toss and the bouquet tosses, you're talking half hour sometimes just to get everybody rounded up. That's a half hour of your reception time. And a lot of couples are choosing to forgo those traditions.
And really, guess if you are having an event that is just kind of has a good flow to it, they're not going to mind it being omitted. But if it's a lot of stop and start and wait, then they're going to notice, oh, wait a minute, they didn't do a, and it doesn't mean that you have to do each of these things. If it's not important to you, don't. I had one couple, they didn't have a wedding cake. They had, their favorite dessert was flan, kind of like a custard. And they served that as their wedding dessert. And they had a local ice cream shop came in and they had a little ice cream sundae bar. So they didn't have a cake. They didn't have a cake cutting. Nobody thought twice about it. And it's like, if you omit a tradition or if you do a tradition differently, if it's done in a way that makes sense to you as a couple, your guests are going to get it and not bat an eye. I had one couple where they didn't have any little kids, so they didn't have a flower girl, but they had a flower fairy. And it was a young lady, about similar age to the bride, one of her friends. And she wore a full-length vinyl, black vinyl dress, cobalt blue butterfly wings, and just kind of went down the aisle tossing petals. And the guests weren't like, in the world, it made so total sense to the guests. Nobody batted an eye in wondering, what are they doing? But it was just part of who they were, and it just, it meant something. It made sense to everybody.
Those are the stories that I love to share because, it, yeah. Like you said, it brings in their personality, and guests get it because that's what they're into.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. If they were to have a little girl in the white dress dropping the petals, it'd be like, well, that's cute, but okay.
And then the bride walks out with black petals thrown throughout her wedding dress. It's like, okay, the flower girl doesn't really match the bride here.
Yeah. Did we borrow the flower girl from somebody else's wedding?
Time for a short break to let you know about the Wedding Music Toolkit. This 28-page book will guide you through picking all the songs that are needed for the wedding ceremony and reception. Plus, it includes a wedding day timeline, day of wedding checklist, and also popular and unique alternatives to wedding moments such as the processional, recessional, first dance, and last dance. So make sure you check out the Wedding Music Toolkit. It is available on Amazon and on my website, myweddingsongs.com. Now back to the show.
One thing that I am seeing less of, or I saw less of, which I was so grateful for, was the cake smashing. I could never understand why people did that. And at two different weddings, I have two perfect examples of why you shouldn't. Because one, the groom smashed, the bride inhaled, cake went up her nose so much where her eyes are watering just because she's got a cake full of, nose full of cake. The maid of honor, who was the bride's sister, thought the bride was crying and mad. So the maid of honor got mad at the groom. It's like, if he just had not done it, we wouldn't have had 20 minutes trying to rectify this.
I always had to use forks in all of my planning documents just to try to prevent that.
And they make the sweet little cute little dessert forks where it says I do and I do too or something. That cute little saying on them. It's like, yeah, because you're not going to smash with a fork. I mean, that is a good point.
Have you seen any other traditions that have kind of faded away?
People are not doing bouquet and garter toss as frequently as before. Some of it is, well, we're the last of our friends and family to get married, so they don't really have the single folks to participate. And also, they kind of want to get away from the people scrambling on the floor to get something. So they either just totally omit that, or they change it to where, okay, instead of tossing the bouquet, I'm going to present it to my grandparents, or have an anniversary dance and present it to the couple or the married the longest, or the garter, the idea of the groom tossing something, but they don't like the idea of him going up her dress, which I say, when you do that, have the garter below the knee. He doesn't have to go far if you choose to do the garter removal. However, if you don't want to do a garter removal, but you still want to do a garter toss, fine. It doesn't have to be the two-part thing. Just don't do the removal, just toss it. Or I didn't see this personally, but I saw online where they called it a whiskey toss, where they had an empty whiskey box and tossed it, and whoever caught the box won the bottle of whiskey. That's a cute idea, and it doesn't give that connotation of, oh, you're the next one to get married. And also, if we know our two friends in attendance are planning on getting married, let's just present them with a toss bouquet in the garter instead of going through the spread the luck, spread the love.
That reminds me of, I was watching a video where a bride had a bunch of long stem roses. Instead of tossing her bouquet, she handed out roses to all of the ladies that were there trying to catch them.
Oh, that's a nice idea too.
Are there any regional or variations in wedding traditions that you've particularly interesting?
Some cultural that I have seen, the bride's heritage was Chinese. The ceremony itself was more of the traditional Western ceremony, but they did incorporate the Chinese tea ceremony into it, which is very nice. Later on, she wore a white wedding gown for the ceremony, but later on, she did change into the traditional red gown for the Chinese heritage. Hand fasting, had a few couples do that, which is very nice. I like the tradition where the tie the knot, you know, term originated. Had a couple who were originally from Ghana, but they lived here in the United States. They had gone to Ghana and gotten married, but they came back to the United States and had a ceremony and reception here. The ceremony was more traditional Western ceremony, but they wore traditional Ghana attire. And they did have a photo album from their ceremony over in Ghana, so guests could see photos from that as well. So that was just nice. Being in Dayton, we're Wright Pad Air Force Base, so we get a lot of military weddings. So the not necessarily a country culture, but a military culture of these Arch of Sabers, Arch of Swords.
I've told this story before where somebody was in the military, pulled out a sword, and then cut the top of the champagne bottle off with the sword.
Practice that really well.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want dad cutting off his hand at the reception.
Yeah, you want your wedding to be remembered for the right thing.
What are some of the unique or unusual wedding traditions that couples have incorporated into their weddings that you've seen?
Some of the more unique, well, it was just a little different variation of the dollar dance where they put the dollar into a hat or a little pouch. But in the Polish heritage, they pinned it to the groom attire. So he was walking around with all dollar bills. The tradition is also to do it for the bride, but she didn't want pinholes in her dress. And it's like, I totally get that. That was kind of nice. So it was a nod back to his family and his heritage and something a little fun and different for the guests who weren't familiar with that. That's one thing that I did find different, me personally, because I grew up in Northern Ohio, and at weddings, seeing the dollar dance was more of a common thing. But life brought me to Southwest Ohio, and down here, it's like, it's not done quite as much. It's like a difference of a maybe 3-4 hour drive and it's done and people are going, well, what is that?
Yeah, I DJed in Montana in the 90s and the dollar dance was very, very common. It's interesting. Couples today just think of it as asking for money, and they've changed terminology, being the honeymoon dance or whatever they term that. So it's really fallen out of favor, but it really depends on, like you said, where you're at. If it's commonly happening, then
your guests will expect it and they'll know to bring a few fives and ones to have it. Tell your couples, okay, don't have a cash bar. Don't make your guests pay for something at your wedding. But the dollar dance is different because it's something that is a common tradition that the guests are familiar with. You're not making them pay for that. They are participating in a tradition that they're comfortable with. Or if they don't want to participate, they can just stay in their seats and watch.
Exactly. And the one benefit that I love from it is the couple gets to see everybody that's at their wedding and has a quick conversation and has a time to say thank you instead of running from table to table or whatever.
Right. Or doing a receiving line, which isn't done as often. And it's like, well, because it takes time. And a lot of times, if your ceremony and reception are in two different venues, you are cutting into that time in between where you should be getting your after ceremony photos done, delays the time that you get to your own reception. Or some churches where you have different functions going on in the afternoon after a wedding ceremony, you have to be off the premises by a certain time.
The flow of a wedding reception is so important, like you were saying. That hour of the receiving line is such a buzzkill.
And it's awkward because guests feel like, oh, I have to chit chat with each one of these bridesmaids and I don't really know them and don't want to be rude. And so I would tell couples, if you like the idea of the receiving line because you get that face-to-face time, instead of standing in the back and having your guests file out past you, go back in and release your own guests. That way you two are controlling how fast it goes. You're guaranteeing that face time to everybody and your guests aren't feeling awkward because they're just talking to you and not to a bridesmaid that they don't really know.
That's a very important fact that you made. So as the wedding industry continues to evolve, do you foresee any significant changes in the wedding traditions going forward?
I think weddings have evolved. They always will. But traditions, I don't really see them falling away quite so much. Maybe not done all the time for at every wedding. Maybe not done in the same way that they perhaps are done now or were done 10 years ago. But then again, you have to think of the term everything old is new again. I think in time we're going to see those traditions come back the way they were done before, and everybody's going to be embracing that. What I've noticed now with wedding cakes is you're starting to see a lot of wedding cake designs that were similar to what we saw in like the 60s, 70s, 80s with the scrolls and the swoops and the swirls and just that very ornate detail of the wedding design. And it's like, that's a cake out of the 70s. We're starting to see that with there. So it's like, yeah, it's not, tradition is not going to go away. It will be done or not done due to each individual couple's tastes and preferences. I think in some ways it's eventually going to come back.
Well, another statement that I want to make too about that is, I said this in a recent newsletter, where it's up to the wedding pros to create something that's different on something that's always been done. An example would be the father daughter dance. Instead of the DJ or MC announcing that, okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're about to have the father-daughter dance, why don't you have the mother of the bride come up and invite her husband and her daughter to the dance floor? Just have something that's a little bit different, and that's just going to make that moment stand out so much more.
A little more personable that way, and it's a lovely idea.
Thanks. Was there anything else you wanted to cover today about wedding traditions that we didn't talk about yet?
Not really. Just one thing I want to let people know, that when it comes to not just wedding traditions, any choice that you make for your wedding, do it because, not because, oh, we're supposed to have a this, we're supposed to have, do it because you want to. Do it because it has some sort of meaning to you. And by having meaning to you, doesn't have to be the meaning that as wedding pros we attach to that particular practice. But even if the has meaning to you, is just like, I like it. If that's the meaning that it has for you, perfect. Do it because you want to, and it makes sense for you and your partner to have it at your wedding.
Cheers to that. I totally agree. Don't always do what mother-in-law wants you to do, or your mother.
One of my favorite quotes is, the most damaging phrase in the language is, it's always been done that way. And that quote was by, I thought I had it written down because I have little quotes and stuff, but the woman is actually, she was, I think, a physicist who said it. So it's like, she's not even in speaking in relation to events or anything romantic, but just a life statement. And it's like, yeah, don't do it because it's always been done that way. Don't do it because you should, quote unquote, should. When it comes to a wedding, what should you do? Have a marriage license. Have somebody who can legally marry you. That's it.
Exactly. The reason that you're there is to get married.
And you want it to be done legally.
Right.
Hopefully. Everything else is, what do you want? Years ago, I was meeting with a bride, and she had commented to me that her best friend told her that she doesn't need a wedding planner. What do I think? I said, honestly, you don't need a wedding planner. You don't need a photographer. You don't need a caterer. You don't need a DJ. You don't need, but do you want one? What do you need? A marriage license and an officiant who can legally perform the ceremony. That's what you need. Everything else, what do you want? Do you want your wedding day to go smooth? Do you want to be able to relax? You might want a wedding planner. Do you want to have great food and people who are going to be behind the scenes making sure that the trays aren't empty? You want a caterer. Do you want music that is going to be playing, keeping people on the dance floor? Someone making announcements at appropriate times and go down the microphone, then you want that professional DJ.
It's funny. The three things you mentioned are the three most important things I always say is a day of wedding planner, just to make sure things go smoothly. And people always remember how the food tasted and if they had a good time. So that's the caterer and the DJ.
Yep.
That's a great way to close it out here. So how can people follow along with you and contact you?
Okay, they can find me on my website. It is weddingsfromtheheartblog.net. Sorry it's so long, but that's just how it ended up as. Or they can also find me on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, Facebook, Instagram. My handle is @wedbygene.
Awesome. Thanks, Gene, for being on the show today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Matt. I had a good time talking with you, and I love weddings. When I retired, it's like I cannot step away completely from weddings, but I'm to the point where I'm ready to not have to deal with those 15-hour wedding days.
I don't think anybody in the wedding industry can ever get out of it. Just that feeling of bringing couples together, for sure.
Yep. I remember when my son, when he was little, he used to say, Mom, you're obsessed with weddings. Yeah, maybe.
Well, thanks everybody for tuning in. Stay tuned for next week for another episode with a interview with another wedding pro. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Wedding Songs Podcast. Never miss a future episode. Subscribe today to our podcast. Follow us on Facebook at My Wedding Songs and send us a message about playlists you would like covered.